End time prophecy is an interesting thing. I want to talk about the type of a king of Babylon. As I forestated, our Father speaks to us in many ways when you're watching. It does not hurt to observe types. I forementioned down where we have a group of students in Baja, California, that there was a hurricane happened to touch right there, and it made a perfect rainbow. And the thing is, instead of spreading out, it was a narrow band about 60 to 100 miles wide that broke a two-month drought here. As a matter of fact, the clouds you see today are still from it, Ishmael. And what a beautiful rain it was. Latter-day rain always is, you know, latter-season rain. And it saved my watermelons and going to put a sweeter taste to them. Our Father is so good to us. But what you want to take note of, is He telling us something? Is that a sign? Well, maybe it is and maybe it isn't. But supposition never hurt anyone when it comes to nature. I don't know why they named the thing Ishmael. They did. We surely didn't have anything to do with it. And it certainly blessed us here. And it isn't the first time in my life that Ishmael has blessed this ministry, as many of you are familiar with. And knowledge of broadcasting when we first went into television was relayed to us through Ishmael. But let's look at prophecy concerning Babylon of today. We have one man that ordered Babylon rebuilt in this generation. His name is Saddam Hussein. And I forget how many millions of bricks that have gone into the rebuilding, which that's not Babylon, and we know it. Babylon of today is the confusion that is upon certain peoples of the world, all over, worldwide. However, we have types, and those types certainly are the way that God relates prophecy to us. You'll all remember a few years ago that from the 11th chapter of Daniel, we did a work titled, What Happens Next? And it had to do with prophecies that exactly fit over Anwar Sadat and his death. We're going to kind of pick up from there today. I want you to open your Bibles to Zechariah. You thought I was going to say Daniel, didn't you? Zechariah chapter 5, please. Excuse me. What's happening here at Zechariah chapter 5 in the Minor Prophets? Next to the last book in the Old Testament, among the Minor Prophets. What's happening here? In the fourth chapter, the two witnesses were named following the orders that Zerubbabel, holding the plumb bob, would build the temple. He would complete it. This one individual would complete that. But then following that, in Zechariah chapter 4, the two sons of Oel, and there's no gender in that, incidentally, which are the two witnesses, were named. And we're going to pick it up at chapter 5 for prophecy. I'm not saying, don't misunderstand, I'm just fixing you in a place. I'm not saying the two witnesses have been named. Let's see, I have a list of 2,788 volunteers for the two witnesses, or people that claim to be. So nobody knows for sure yet. You think I'm kidding, don't you? And I'm not. It's the truth. Okay, I get this letter that'll start out, I thought you would want to know. God told, but you know, I have almost a direct open line to God all the time. And if He has a message for me, guess what? He usually gives it to me, okay? He had never even told me about these people. I don't know. He knows I don't. I have a lot of fun anyway, okay? But I stay focused real good. Okay, I'm not saying the two witnesses are here on earth today, all right? Are they living today? Well, that's very possible. Because I hope we don't have to barn too and wait till they're full adult, till the Lord returns. Be that as it may, that's not what this subject is about. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Chapter 5, verse 1, a word of wisdom from our Father, and it reads, "Then I turned, and I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll." This was the sixth vision given to Zechariah from our Father. "And he said unto me, 'What seest thou?' And I answered, 'I see a flying roll.'" This is a flying scroll, my friend, a signboard, all right? That's what a scroll is, to communicate a message. "The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10. That's 30 by 15 to us. Okay? 30 by 15 feet. You should be able to see that. In other words, I'm going to give you a message that's so clear when the time comes, you should recognize it. And it is the sixth. 3. "Then said he unto me, 'This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth.'" How much of it? Whole earth. One worldism. Almost in existence. "Over the face of the whole earth, for every one that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it, and every one that sweareth," that swears falsely, or swears to the false Messiah, "shall be cut off, and on that side according to it." In other words, it's a warning of the end times, that if you swear allegiance to a false Christ, what do you think Christ is going to say to you when he gets here? He's going to say, I don't have your number. You're not in my telephone book, friend. Where did you come from?" That's why it's so important to be focused, all right? 4, "I will bring it forth," not maybe, it's a sign, "I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof." Totally going to destroy them, take them down. False religion will do that to you. And boy, I'll tell you what, that's one of the things. And of course, what this means is it strips them totally of any spiritual value. We all like to think that we lay some treasures up for the future. It just robs them of everything they have spiritually. They're spiritually bankrupt. When you fall off to false teachings that will cause you to swear allegiance. You know what I mean? Like, "Hey, I love you. I think you're Jesus." And probably they will. Verse 5. Subject change. "Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, 'Lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth.'" In other words, it was coming into view. Can you see it? It's coming into view. Verse 6. "And I said, 'What is it?' And he said, 'This is an ephah.'" Now that's a big bushel. All right, "'That goeth forth.' He said, 'Moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth.'" This is what it's going to look like throughout all the earth. This is what it looks like. Verse 7. "And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead." That means a talent. How much is a talent? It's according to whose talent you're going to use, anywhere from 100 pounds to 180 pounds. In other words, you don't open it easily. You're not accidentally going to slip the lid off of it. People that get into it are going to purposely and willfully put out effort to get into it. I just wanted to make that point in passing. "And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst." "And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah." Of course, we know that that's Mystery Babylon. Bless her little old heart. She's just sitting in there. Mystery Babylon of the book of Revelation, if you would, confusing everyone and confused herself, being swell but never can get ahead and listens to too many lies all the time, but likes to go to church, likes to be religious, but very unfocused. As a matter of fact, she's the one that rides the religious beast system. Woo! Meeting time again. Let's go to church. But what if God's word is not taught there and this false swearing is? Think about it. Verse 8, and he said, this is wickedness, and he cast it into the midst of the ephah. He slammed that lid back shut on it, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Verse 9, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked. It's coming into sight again, friend. I looked, and behold, there came out two women. And the wind, that's to say the spirit, was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. That's an unclean bird. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Did you know you were delivered by an unclean bird, a stork? That's what my mama told me. Okay? We got two women straight from Babylon. And they're coming out, and they take that thing, and what do they do with it? 10. Had wings like a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. That's where they took it, meaning it was over all everywhere. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah? Where are they taking it? That's important to you. 11, and he said unto me, to build it an house, that's another abode, in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established, not maybe, it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Now what? Tell me this, what is that word Shinar? What does it mean? In the Hebrew tongue, it means two rivers. Do you know what those two rivers are? They're the Tigris and the Euphrates. And you know where the town's situated? It's Babylonia. It's right today where between Iraq and Iran. That's exactly where it's situated. Now, I need not tell you about two women, as far as Iraq is concerned, that happened in the past 30 days or so. But we're going to go into it a little more in depth and pick up on the prophecy in the 11th chapter of Daniel. Did he say that this would be placed in New York City? No. The geographical location for your type, and that's what this is. It's symbology, therefore it's a type. It's not an actual factual happening. It's a type that you're going to have to look to observe that these two women have a great deal to do with the carrying forth of Babylonia or Babylon. And it's headquartered on the exact line over which Iran and Iraq both fought for, 8 years? The 8 year war? Yes. But all of a sudden, we're beginning to hear, just happened to have a little clip here about Iraq and Iran. This is from day before yesterday, Friday. An Iraqi delegation left Tehran on Friday after making some progress on issues dividing the neighboring countries which fought a war from 1980 to 88. That's 8 years, yeah. Tehran Radio said. It said the delegation headed by Iraq's first deputy, Foreign Minister Saad Abdel Majid al-Faisal, achieved some progress on the issue of searching for bodies of soldiers killed in the Iran-Iraq War. Do you know how many of them there were? Tens of thousands. Remember back how they would march kids out into the minefields? Tens of thousands. That's their main problem. Iran says 5 to 10,000 prisoners are still held by Baghdad. and of course Iraq denies it holds any Iranians. The prisoner issue is among the thorniest hindering normalization between Tehran and Baghdad. But we do see that wavering that the two could get together, all right? After 8 long years of war and a million lives from both sides. That is to say, well, it would be more than a million from both sides, considerably more. With that, let's go to the 11th chapter of Daniel. This is not going to be a long lecture, but I think it's one that's needed for this moment. Daniel chapter 11. You'll remember that this chapter is prophecy. It was history up till the 4th verse, and then it was history up until about 10 or 12 years ago, up to the 11th verse. And now we're going to pick it up from that history and go forward with it, and I want you, with having covered what we just covered, think about it. Verse 13, "For the king of the north shall return, and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches." Now, the army that basically came to power in the land of Ur in Babylonia was Hussein. It moved from Khomeini, the old Medo-Persia Empire, back to the other side of Tigris and Euphrates, to Iraq, even to the point that God would have you know that strong enough that he ordered the city of Babylon rebuilt and offered a $1 million prize to anybody that could tell him how the hanging gardens worked, because he really wanted to rebuild the whole smash. So let there be no doubt in your mind that nobody could be more evil than that man is on the earth today as far as leaders are concerned. He doesn't care who he puts out of the way if they get in his way. But you will remember what an army it was that he brought against Kuwait. I mean, Kuwait couldn't even slow him down. That really should not have bothered the world, because look, I mean, the whole world went after him then, did we not? I mean, we had a 500,000 troops there, men and women. Should have got him. Well, let's look at the prophecy. Were we supposed to? And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of the people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. The king of the south couldn't muster it together. And that was Egypt and Jordan. Now, Jordan did not support Kuwait. Egypt did. Which is the Ptolemaic kingdom, king of the south. So the king, verse 15, excuse me. "So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount, and take the most fenced cities. And the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand." We had the entire United Nations in there. Britain had troops. We had troops. But something tied our hands where we couldn't stand. It happened to be a border that the United Nations said we couldn't cross. I mean, there was nothing to it. Nothing to the battle as far as we were concerned. But we allowed the one world system to handcuff us. Because is Saddam Hussein out of power? Of course not. As a matter of fact, the whole world jumps if he even makes a little threat. Verse 16. "But he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, certainly not ours. And none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land which by his hand shall be consumed." Do you know what happened here about 2 weeks ago? And I believe this is on good authority. It is in dispute now concerning the rock. Do you all know what rock I'm talking about? Where the Dome of the Rock, okay? That's where Christ rose from. The Muslims believe that is where Mohammed arose from, and so forth. But Israel is saying now, no, that wasn't the place, so we can rebuild the temple anyway. Gave it up. No contest. Gave it up. Was it because the Hassad was so tough on them that it seemed impossible to bridge that and time is marching on? Well, I don't know. But I'll tell you this. With the Palestinian agreements, with parts of the old city being handed back and so forth, it fits this prophecy, and you should consider it as a type. I mean, it's happening now, like fast, like now, when you focus on God's Word and look at that type and follow it. Okay, 17. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him, all of his upright leaders. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand. We had one type of this with Cleopatra. Instead of standing with her father as she was supposed to, she jumped ship with her husband. She stayed with her husband. That was the first type. Many of you will have it in some old biblical works you might have around your home. That should begin to make an alarm, a prophetic alarm, go off in your mind when I made that statement. But she shall not stand on his side, neither be for him. Saddam Hussein had two daughters. Did they stand on his side? You know the answer to that. Of course they didn't. They ran with their husbands. They abandoned ship. The two women did not stand with their father. He would have probably butchered them if they did. All right? Or anyway, their husbands. That's the way he operates. Verse 18. After this shall he turn his face unto the isles, that's to say Libya, and others, and shall take many, but a prince of his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Do you know what prince or son-in-law it was, the two son-in-laws? Do you know how much power they had? They put together his atomic program. They put together his army. They were the top dogs, the top brains in his country. And they're not standing with him either. And the reproach is to the point that Egypt has already offered sanctions for Saddam Hussein if he wants to leave his country to come there. It has come to that. He has refused and says, "My people love me." They don't love him. As a matter of fact, religion itself, if you are familiar with the Muslim religion to that point, he was not even a convert until after the war started. And before that, he belonged to a very small sect. But a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. Naturally, between father-in-law and son-in-law, there's some reproach there today. I mean, you can't say how serious. They would gun each other down at the drop of a hat. 19. Then he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land. Sound like trouble back home, huh, friends? Now that the son-in-laws are gone, turn his face toward the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. I feel that it's according, if this type, and understand I said if that type, and it sounds very good to me, fits. Saddam Hussein, in a matter of not too long, will be removed from office. Probably, if it is according to this prophecy, from trouble at home, from his own people. And do you know something? His own people have a right to want him out more than anyone else. He has mistreated them terribly, terribly. But do you know who stands up in his place? 20. Then shall stand up in his place, his estate, a raiser of taxes, in the glory of the kingdom, but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. The Bosnian Serb situation has a great deal to do with this. Do you know why? If you've been alert, you have noticed that the Serbs at this time, because of the United States having offered or put in motion a peace plan, that we are being blamed, and the Muslim world, their hate against us is building. As a matter of fact, there have been reports in Reuters on the same day that this report came out, that the United States peace plan for Bosnia and the Serbs amounts to genocide. Well, we always thought it was to stop genocide, all right? But anyway, the Muslim world publicly has come down upon us for intervening against the Muslims in the Bosnian and the Serb situation. And I thought we were doing them a pretty good turn. You know, the Serbs were really making, I mean, there were atrocities there, it would seem. What am I saying? Muslims are gathering. Anytime you start picking on one group, it's easy for them to band together. That's why I read the report that I did. Even when Iran and Iraq can get together, that's big news. And when they get together, I'm sure there will be a different leader in charge in Iraq. I believe that because I believe we're very close to this type. And I'm watching it very closely, and it is for this reason that I bring it to your attention. You should watch it also. What would happen? How would somebody, maybe even one of the princes of his own people, a son-in-law, become a raiser of taxes? Now think about it a minute. Let's first take the Hebrew word for taxes as it is used here. Let me spell it for you in English. It's N-A-G-A-S, gas. All right? We could spell it N-O-G-A-S, no gas. And you'd probably be getting a lot closer. Nagas, so help me, that's what it is in the Hebrew tongue. God tells us things in many strange ways. So what am I saying? If the OPEC countries begin to unite in the very near future, and Hussein goes out, your futures in oil right now that run about 18 or 15, according to what part of the country, look for $30 a barrel oil. They're going to raise taxes, all right. Because you know something? Do you know where about 40% of our oil comes from? I guess it's more than that. I guess it's 60%. Does anybody happen to have figures real quickly? I'm going to say 50 to be conservative, but I think it comes from there. It's over 60, isn't it? 60%. Do you want to go without gas? What would you pay? So, I would say the futures in oil stock, after you see that point, and I'm not telling you to play the futures. That's the most dangerous stock you can get in. But hey, somebody's going to clean up because I believe God's word. All right? So, the raiser of taxes will unite the Muslim world and your oil. You haven't seen. I'm used that figure $30 a barrel conservatively. I would have rather said $32 a barrel. And hey, it could even get worse than that. It could. It could almost, that small place, because, and we have allowed it, we've allowed it to become so important that it's just too important to us, quite frankly. So what am I saying? Well, I'm saying, isn't it unusual that two of his daughters would jump ship? You all do know what I'm talking about, don't you? The daughters of Saddam Hussein, when they left with their husbands and went into Jordan. And boy, he had the militia out after them, and King Hussein of Jordan gave them protection. Listen, I'll tell you what. For both daughters to go, fitting this prophecy the way it does, it's not often I pop a prophecy on you like what shall happen next, a tape I made about 10 or 12 years ago. Prophecies don't happen that soon together, but that's why you must stay focused on the Word. I believe that we should watch this very closely. There are too many things. It's kind of like when Ishmael hits Baja and comes rolling right over Gravette, Arkansas. It didn't reach Joplin, which is 60 miles to the north, barely, and it didn't hit Fort Smith. It was a rainbow of clouds right through that ring. Sometimes I think God does things to get our attention, you know, to say, hey, look, you know, have you seen anything in the sky that looks kind of like 30 by 15 saying, wake up, dummy? You know, I don't know. But I wanted to give this to you, because I think it's very important. You know that the next thing that happens after the raiser of taxes is the appearance of the false Christ. He'll come in peaceably and with flatteries take over the world. There will be no war in that. I feel that our people will suffer because of those taxes, and it will affect the whole world. I want to close. Do you all remember the acrostics of Psalms 37. I think it's important right now, when you focus on God's Word and you cover prophecy as we just have, that you cover that part of God's promise that lets you know you don't have to worry about it anyway. I think that's important. I think that's an important focus. Otherwise, you get some nervous troops up near the front line in the front foxholes. You got to keep them encouraged. They'll just shoot off your big toe, not the whole foot. You know, it's getting late, children. And okay, I'm going to start reading here with verse 34. You with companion Bibles, this is such a beautiful psalm, and the acrostic within it says so very, very much. Well, I've lost my notes, but I'm sure it was this psalm. They're down there on the floor, but I could pick it up and look, but I know I'm not wrong, okay? So I'm going to just do it. This is a beautiful 37th Psalm, and let's pick it up with verse 34, which is the last verse that is included in the acrostic, but let's take it to the end. Wait on the Lord, and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. You can believe that. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. You're going to see it with your own eyes. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. In other words, he's trying to act like a cedar of Lebanon, but he's not. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Do you know who the perfect man is? There was only one, so, you know, it's not too hard to guess. It was Jesus Christ, of course. Mark him. That's the only true peace you'll ever find. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength. Where is your strength? Where is your power? The Lord is your strength in the time of trouble. We're in the time of Jacob's trouble, my friend. It's here. There's only one strength, and that's in Him. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. That's it. It says it all. You don't have to worry about prophecies other than paying attention so that God can use you as these things come to pass. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. And fill up your gas tanks. when you see it come to pass, it's not time yet, but watch it. Hey, I think as the way it's unfolding that it's a perfect overlay of what's happening in Shinar or Babylonia, two rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates, between Iran, Iraq, and all of Ishmael. Watch it closely. God's prophecies always come to pass as they are written, not as man thinks they should. Father, we thank You for the written Word. Thank You for being with us this day, Father. We ask that You be with us. Give everyone a safe trip home. We ask it in Jesus, Yeshua's precious name. Amen.